Why, yes, it's always party time. We have the voice of the Jayhawks, Brian Haney, with us, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency every Thursday. Talk KU Athletics. And, Brian, glad to have you on again. Let's just jump into it here. The Jayhawks, a tough loss on Tuesday against Oklahoma State. That's been a tough place for KU over the years. Had some losses there. They've also won there, too. And I guess the thing that really stands out to me is 37 fast break points. It's hard to win games when you allow 37 fast break points.
Yeah, that's a lot. And it's obviously something self knew was a possibility, but you certainly didn't want to, you know, expect it to come to that fruition. And, you know, he said heading in, the speed on this Oklahoma State team is rare. It's akin to the length and size of Texas in that, you know, they had really athletic, really long bigs that probably would be as tough as KU faced all year. And he felt the same about the Oklahoma State speed. It wasn't quite what Auburn had a couple of years ago in the NCAA tournament, but it's pretty close. And, you know, it's rare that Kansas, twice within a conference season, goes up against teams that have better athleticism than Kansas has, because usually we have all the five-star guys, and we've got the elite-level shot-blocking, feet-moving, high-jumping center like a Udoka Azubuike, or the guy as fast as a cheetah at point guard like Devon Dotson. This is a year where we have a lot of really talented players, but in terms of, like, absolute gold standard head of the conference athleticism, it isn't the athletic length of Texas or the blazing speed of Oklahoma State. And so you have to find ways from a fundamentals and technique standpoint and just doing your diligence, getting back and stopping the ball and that kind of thing, to compensate for the fact that they've got some pretty elite-level speed. And so the fact that Kansas specifically was down, I think it was 24-4 in fast break points at halftime. That's obviously even more glaring than the 37 they gave up for the game, because you could tell they did a slightly better job in the second half. To me, they lost this game in the first 20 minutes, not in the last 62 seconds, in allowing Oklahoma State to build up a 16-point lead and carve yourself that kind of deficit to have to climb out of. That's where the game was lost. And so Bill Self, you know, he took a lot of responsibility afterwards and fell on the sword, saying that it's on him to get these guys, you know, to buy in more and play better defense and all that, which was the admirable coaching thing to do. But honestly, you'd expect a team that's a little more veteran-led than what Oklahoma State was putting out there to have some of that stuff a little bit farther along at this point. And so in Coach Self, we trust, and he's going to get these guys whipped into shape defensively and continue to grow as the season goes on. But I think we're seeing that this Kansas team, though very good and certainly top 10 worthy, you know, is not head and shoulders above the rest of the pack in terms of gifted athletes like they have been in some seasons. And we knew heading into the year they were a notch below Baylor on paper. I think we're finding out that that's probably going to play out to fruition. And so it's going to be interesting to see what it looks like. But we still have the best coach in the league by a landslide. And you know, I'll take Bill Self with A-minus talent versus anybody else with A or A-plus talent, because he finds a way. So I fully expect this club to still contend for the league title. I think Baylor, obviously, is the team to beat with a bullet, and they've got a couple of games up on Kansas in the loss column. And who knows if they'll have to play their toughest games with all the reschedulings that are going to happen in a small window at the end of the year. So winning the league is going to be tougher than it's ever been. But I certainly wouldn't count out Kansas so long as Bill Self is on the sideline.
Yeah, and then Texas Tech winning at Texas last night, you know, helps Kansas in that situation as well. Of course, you got Baylor at the top, and many people think them Gonzaga the two best teams in the country, and who knows, you might be able to put Michigan in that conversation the way they're playing right now. You know, McCormick had another outstanding offensive game, although, you know, you talk about the speed of the game, and, you know, he a bit of a liability defensively in regards to getting up and down the floor, which is true of any big man. That's just the way it is for the most part, unless you're Anthony Davis. McCormick 24-12, and KU, I heard you on the radio broadcast when I was coming back from the high school game I was calling on Tuesday, talking about how it really almost looks like, you know, Kansas at times now, and this is something that's hard to believe based on how poorly he was playing earlier in the year, is that the offense is kind of going inside to him and starting there at times.
They really are, and I even took it one step farther and said it's almost as if they're too reliant. You wish we had the bevy of other options on Tuesday that were carrying us early, but Jalen Wilson had one of his worst games. Christian Brown's been in a bit of a funk for 2 weeks now. And, you know, Marcus Garrett, I thought, played his best 6 minutes of the season during that comeback, but then obviously, you know, wilted in the last 60 seconds. And so there were times coming down the floor where you know, it just looked so obvious that we were going to throw it into David, and there really wasn't much consideration of anything but that. And that's good in terms of he's demanding the ball more and he's scoring more efficiently once he gets it. But also, you want to see those guards and those wing players be more formidable, because that's going to make David's job easier if they're sucking the defense all the way out on them, which they were. But I also felt like, you know, for the first time, we didn't quite see that same alpha dog Jalen Wilson version. And as I mentioned with Christian, for whatever reason, last couple of weeks, you know, shooting numbers below 35% and averaging around 6 a game, and it's just not quite the Christian Brown that we saw in the first month. And he'll get it back. I mean, I have total confidence in both those guys. But it's just been interesting to see that with David's ascension these last three games, we in spots have seen other guys kind of take a back seat, and you'd like to not necessarily count on hitting on all cylinders every time out, but you'd like to have a little more balance, and I think they'll get there.
Brian Hay, the voice of Jayhawks, brought to you each and every Thursday by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Mill and Beloit, or call them 738-5701. You know, Bill Self, triangle and two. You know, I love Bill Self and what he does in regards to the changes he makes. And he's talked about it before when he's gone the zone. You know, that was a crummy zone. Yeah, it was a crummy zone, but the other team wasn't prepared for it. It doesn't have to be the greatest zone. It just throws a team out of rhythm, out of sync, and that's what happens when you change defenses. I'm surprised that more coaches don't do a lot of changing defenses, like every other possession. Maybe that's a little bit too complicated, perhaps. I don't know. But, you know, especially if you play up against maybe younger teams, you know, how do you handle diagnosing, hey, we're seeing a 1-3-1, we're seeing a 2-3, we're seeing a 3-2, we're seeing a triangle and two, we're seeing a box and one, a diamond and one, whatever it might be. But, you know, to Bill Self's credit, he's a man, you know this, that he loves to play man-to-man, and he wants his teams to be tough. But he's not afraid, if it ain't working, to try something different. And he did the other night, and darn near stole the game.
He really did. And, you know, I think that's true. One of the top five great attributes of Coach Self is not just a willingness to adjust mid-game, but an incredible effectiveness when he does. And that's a track record that runs 18 years deep at Kansas and long before that, too, at Illinois and Tulsa and Oral Roberts. He's always been a guy that, though certainly he has his, you know, set principles that are his staples, like the man-to-man and at one time in his career, the high-low and all that, he's always been willing to adapt. Because if you don't adapt and adjust, whether it's to the trends of the game in a overarching bigger picture scale, like a few years ago when he started going four guards around one, because there's just so many more elite-level wing scorers now in college basketball than there are true post players, or willing to adjust within the flow of the game because you got to throw a curveball at him, stuff's not working, we got to find a way to turn the tide here. He's always been so good about that. And, again, that was a great example on Tuesday, and it worked. I mean, they really did complete the comeback. They didn't complete the win, but with a minute to go, they'd gone from 16 down to up three. And if some of that has to do with Oklahoma State being a young team that has given up big leads before. They blew a 19-point lead versus West Virginia and lost, but it was Kansas that kind of flummoxed Oklahoma State with its defense, with the zone they threw at them. And then, you know, you take your chances with a guy like Likely. I know the numbers say he was a 54% three-point shooter or whatever, but he'd only attempted 11 all season and hadn't attempted one all night and was 2 of 8 all night, and you leave him open in the corner, and he somewhat awkwardly throws in a three, and it's just like, wow. You know, we could play that scenario out again, and it might only happen twice based on the factors I just gave you, but that's exactly what happened. So I think, you know, in terms of the way he adjusted, you got to applaud him, but he would tell you, because he's the ultimate perfectionist and he's going to be harsh on his team, you know, more than anybody, he would tell you that they didn't have the guys in a frame of mind, you know, start to finish in that game that it was going to take to win it. But to me, I look at the glass more than half full. And anytime you got Bill Self pouring the drink, it's overflowing. And we got a coach that found a way to get these guys from down 16 to up three late. What happened from there, you know, nobody would have thought Marcus would go 0-for-2 with a really bad turnover on the last play of the game and kind of a bad first missed shot in that stretch when the ball got blocked and saved and lent to a run out. That's just stuff that I think if Bill Self could do it all over again, he'd probably still trust Marcus because that's your senior captain. You could not have seen that coming to that degree, especially after, as I said, Marcus had been so good over the course of that 19-point swing on the 21-2 run. So I applaud the moves Coach made in the second half, and I don't doubt a single one of them for a second. He did a heck of a job.
Yeah, he did. What were your impressions of Cade Cunningham? I mean, it's a kid that, you know, only scored a few points against K-State, didn't have a big game against Wichita State earlier this year, but hit the biggest shot to win the game against the Shockers. This is a kid I feel like when I watch him, he just kind of fits in, and when he needs to take over, perhaps he's that type of kid that can do that and flip a switch.
Yeah, it's interesting. I asked Coach Self, you know, in your 18 years, you've gone up against several potential number one overall picks. Now, these guys didn't necessarily finish there. A lot of them were number two. But, you know, guys like Beasley, Durant, Blake Griffin. He's coached some. Andrew Wiggins, Josh Jackson, Joel Embiid, guys that were top three pick caliber players. And I said, you know, how does he compare? And he thought Josh Jackson was the most comparable guy, but he thought that in this case he's much more skilled than Josh was at this stage in their career. And the thing that Coach said about Cade that makes him different from a Griffin or Beasley or a Durant, he said, first off, Durant's in a completely different category. That's the best player he's seen at the college level in 30 years. But he said Beasley in particular was a numbers guy. He'd go out and get his 20 and 10 every night, and it doesn't have to look that way with Cade. He pointed to a recent game where he had 5 points, but he felt like dominated the game mm-hmm. in all the other categories and in all the attention that his presence created that allowed other guys to do things. He said Cade's not your typical projected number one overall guy that has to go out and get his from a point standpoint, but by golly, he's affecting every other category on that stat sheet and every other aspect of the game. And so I think he's as advertised. You know, kudos to Oklahoma State for hiring his brother and making a priority out of locking him down. And you know, they were obviously also in on Bryce Thompson, and so I know that game meant a lot to Bryce the other night before he got hurt because they wanted him badly too. But you look at the recruits that Boynton brought in, not just Cunningham, but he's got two other top 60 guys in that class. The 39-year-old's done a heck of a job of getting this team, you know, back on the map. And you know, we'll see what happens with their appeal of probation and all that stuff. But I really do have a lot of respect for Coach Boynton, and you know, we've hired family members at Kansas before, going back to Ed Manning and Ronnie Chalmers, so no shame in that game. But he did what it took to get the best player in the country, and he absolutely looks like the best player in the country.
What is the update on Bryce Thompson's injury? How long is he out, or can he deal with it? What's the situation?
We don't have one yet publicly, and I've not seen Coach yet. We'll see him tonight on Hawk Talk. I know afterwards it was a matter of getting it back and get it fully assessed and x-rayed and all that, but it's on his right hand. And the young man had just missed 2 weeks with a back injury, and so you're looking at more than that, I would think, going forward. So you hate it for him because it's going to derail a huge chunk of his freshman year. And you would have hoped that it was, you know, something lesser on a non-dominant hand and that kind of thing that maybe you could play through. But even still, as we saw with some of these other hand injuries, like with Udoka, KU treats these very seriously. And you're not going to ask a guy to play through something unless it's the end of the year and he's, you know, demanding to be on the floor. So they'll do whatever it takes to get him completely healthy there. And maybe Coach will provide an update today with the media or on Hot Talk. But at this point, it would be sheer speculation to guess. But I hate it for Bryce because, obviously, for a McDonald's All-American and a top 25 recruit, he's not had the season he thought he was going to have. And you know, normally this is the time of year where you really start to see guys mature and grow, that break between first and second semesters when you're just focused on basketball. And unfortunately for him, ever since the first day back from the holiday break, he had the back injury, and now he has the finger injury. And so it may turn into one of those, you hate to say, lost seasons, and not to the degree that it was for Jalen Wilson last year, mind you. But if he's gone till end of February or late February, there's not a whole lot he can help this team with at that point because rotations will be set by then. So hopefully he gets a faster prognosis recovery time than that, but obviously we're not holding our breath at this point.
And then I understand Grant Foster has a bit of an injury too?
Yeah, and I don't know the specifics. He spun himself into the ground and came up, you know, holding his shoulder a little bit, and I think, frankly, that one is at a spot where he was not quite catapulting himself into regular minutes, you know, with the recent trends. I think had Thompson not gotten hurt with the addition of Inaruna's recent ascension, Tyon might have gotten buried in the depth chart, because this is the time of the year where you really get that rotation whittled down to 7 or 8.
Right.
So we'll see what happens with that, but I think, honestly, Tristan Inaruna's productivity is such that Tyon was going to be hard-pressed to get minutes in the big game. Now, a game like Saturday, he probably would have played a lot, and we'll see what his health is. But, yeah, it's a situation where I think right now with him, it's more from a confidence and efficiency standpoint than even health.
Yeah, I spin myself into the ground all the time with my shoulder. Yep, that's how athletic I am.
I compared it to a slugger at the plate who swings so hard he like spins himself into the dirt. You've
yes.
seen that before, guys.
Oh, yeah.
Twist themselves into the dirt. That's kind of what it looked like. Bless his heart.
It always hurts more when you miss, when you swing like that. The next game is Iowa State. Iowa State didn't play this week, during the week, because of K-State situation with COVID-19. Just what should we know about Iowa State, a team that's winless in the Big 12, coming out in Fieldhouse on Saturday?
Well, I think, like anything in the Big 12 conference nowadays, you don't take anybody for granted, because, look, they play within 6 of Texas and still have a great coach and Coach Prohm. So I think there's a lot of respect from Kansas' standpoint toward Iowa State. But right now, quite frankly, and I know it's a huge coaching cliche, but the bigger thing is on us. We got to find a way to start to assert our own will, being a tougher-minded team, being a lockdown defensive team from the jump. We got to find a way to take that version of Marcus Garrett that we saw from the 8-minute mark to the 1-minute mark and have that more frequently, get Jalen and Christian back on track. And if they do that, in the upcoming stretch, you know, the Baylor game obviously sticks out like a sore thumb. But beyond that, I think Kansas has a chance to rattle off several wins. But in this case, come Saturday, they won't take anything lightly looking at records, because they know that on the heels of Texas, you know, doing what they did to us, yeah, Iowa State played them within 2 possessions. So there's a lot of respect there.
Yeah, and then, of course, the big game at Baylor coming up on Monday, prime time there in Waco. That should be a great one, and we'll recap that with you next Thursday. All right, time for the off-the-wall question for you. You obviously have to type things, write things, prepare things when you get ready for a ball game. What is a word that you just have a dickens of a time spelling? Like you know the word, but you just have a dickens of a time spelling it correctly, or you double check, second guess yourself every time you type it or write it. For me, it's the word definitely. I just have a problem spelling that word. I can't explain why. I just don't do very well spelling it correctly. I always second-guess myself when I try to do that. That, and when I type up something for Ryan Lefevre of the Royals, I always have to second-guess his last name, although I think I finally have conquered that one. What about you? Is there a word that just absolutely, whether it's, I guess you could take it a little step further, a word that you can't spell very well or you have a problem with, or a word that just ties up your tongue when you're announcing?
That's a tough one. The thing for me is I learn these kids' names and I spell them phonetically,
because uh-huh.
all that matters to me is saying it right. And cool. So I'll have the kids record their name into my phone, because sometimes you can't trust the pronunciation guide either.
No.
And then I'll write it out as I would say it phonetically. And so by the end of their careers, a guy like Udoka Azubuike, who's been here for 4 years, there's no way I could have spelled his last name.
That's right.
In my game prep and spotting boards, it was only spelled the way I knew how to say it.
Yep.
And so if you put me on some kind of game show and offered me $1 million to spell Azubuike, no matter how many times I'd read it in print, I'd read it 100 more times in my notes, and I would divert back to, yep. you know, AZ-UH-BOO-KEE.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure the late, great Alex Trebek wouldn't give me credit for anything with that.
Right.
So that's probably my story on spelling is I know how to spell them as you'd say them, but I probably couldn't write them unless I had a media guide nearby.
You know what? I totally can relate to that. I do the exact same thing. I think most play-by-play guys do. And then there's been a few times I've had to send a recap of the game to the local paper. So thus, when I start to write it, I look at my cheat sheet, my spotting board, and I'm like, well, what is the right way to spell it? Because I've got it phonetically, like you say. So now I got to go find the roster and see how it's actually spelled, because I don't have to worry about spelling it on the radio. All I got to do is make sure that I pronounce it right, like you said. So I totally can relate to that. Totally.
No doubt, my man.
Oh, man. No. Should be fun. Iowa State Saturday, Baylor on Monday. Have 2 great calls. We'll talk to you again next week, man.
Sounds good, brother. Thanks so much.
Take care. Brad Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks. He is with us every Thursday. Thanks to our good friends at Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Mill and Beloit, or call them at 738-5701.